sorry, 6:18. And I'll just read the text to you if you want to follow along on your notes. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So he's talking about the armor of God. This is in context. He's been talking about what we need because we're in a battle. And we were just sharing before service, you know, I had mentioned this before. When you're in a battle, okay, when you're at war, you don't go out into the foreign land or you don't go out wherever the battle is and carry a set of pajamas and you don't carry, you know, like leisure wear. You have one thing and that's what's on you. And not just on us do we have these things that he's given us, but inside of us we have the Holy Spirit. And prayer, guys, is everything. What good is the armor if you don't know where you're headed, where the battle is, and where we need to be aligned, and in what order? So prayer is that thing that keeps us tuned in. It's how we're going to get our battle orders through to know exactly what God is saying. And I want to tell you tonight, this kind of took a turn on me because I thought, well, you know, we're going to just wrap this up in prayer, and I think we're going to be stuck on prayer for a couple of weeks. Not because we don't know how to pray. I think all of us know how to pray. I don't care what level you're on. He hears your heart. But I think it's important that we realize that prayer is such a vital part of the battle that we're in. It's a communication. And so I want to ask you, you tell me now, what are some dark headlines? And by dark, I mean things that don't have hope of God. They're dark things. What are some dark headlines that you're hearing from the news or whatever? Lauren? Okay. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Yes. 13-year-old boy that got shot. Really? Really? I don't know that. So, someone else? Dark headlines. What was that?
Disease.
Yep. Measles are coming back. Oh, watch out now. Just yesterday, day before yesterday, Carl Rabelais got a report that he had ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. And I mean, they're just, he was just like, this doctor came in and just said, there is no hope, and here's what's going to happen, and you're going to digress, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I want to tell you something. Whatever Carl's been going through, it's been well over a year. And according to this doctor, he had less than a year. When you find this out, that this takes over your body, I'm like, dude, you already beat the odds. Come on, let's continue to believe. So that's just put out there for you to pray. But yeah, I saw where a doctor in Ohio's going to jail for 25, they're charging him with murder, yes, because he was giving those opioids in huge doses to people, overdosing them. And, you know, just, it. We can all agree it's crazy, right? We can all agree it's dark, right? You know, people don't want the things of God. They say they don't need him. And the only thing I can figure out is why people don't need him is because they don't want to answer to anybody. And they don't want anybody to make them accountable for their actions. And then the world says, we don't want him. Well, why wouldn't you want him? You know why? It's because we want to do what we think is best. We want to be in control. We want to have our opinion. And we don't want anybody to inconvenience us. Well, let me just tell you something. If the truth's not told to you when you're born, the world is inconvenient, the world is unfair, and in this world, the Bible clearly tells you you're going to have trouble, you're going to have sorrows, you're going to have grief, but he says, yes, he's overcome it, but not only has he overcome it, but he's prepared a place for us where those things cannot even touch us. These are all benefits of salvation. Everything we've been studying. Yes, we're justified. He's taken away. No matter what we did, he's justified it before the Father by his suffering and his blood. Yes, there's sanctification. That means that I'm continually growing and maturing and allowing him more into me so that I can, yes, glorify him and show others. Hey, you know what? It's hard, but here's a way to make it with peace through the hard stuff where you don't have to, you know, like depend on X, Y, or Z to give you your liberty. I don't know. I just kind of went off there. Let me stop. So the main thought here tonight is that prayer ties into the Word the same way that a lamp prevents a danger to an unfamiliarness in the dark, and that's where we are. We're in unfamiliar territory. Now, here's the teaching, and I'm going to kind of go back and forth with what I feel like the Lord is saying for a now word, okay? But I truly believe this. I think we are in unfamiliar territory as Christians. You know, used to say these, you got these three scriptures and man, you can pound them out and okay, woo, we're safe now. Or, you know, you could cry for 20 minutes or pray or shout or whatever you do to get it out. And you're like, okay, yeah, we're okay. I feel like we're in this place now where things are unfamiliar, but I believe it's God because the darkness has penetrated. We've been happy to set up camp right here. Here's my house, here's my work, here's my church. I'm so happy, don't get me out of my comfort zone. You know, it's kind of like, just let this be my place of dwelling, right? And I feel like God has called us to some deeper places. He has called us not just to get comfortable, but he has called us to inhabit promises that he has for us. And if the enemy can make us out of fear or doubt not go claim those places, well, just, now, God, I don't like this. I'm kind of feeling uncomfortable. Let me just, you know, peace be still right here where I am. That's uncomfortable for me. Anybody in here going to uncomfortable places? Please raise your hand because I think we all need to know this is where we are as a group, right? But I think it's because God is not punishing us, which is what the world will say, which is what people who don't care about his opinion are going to say. They just want to use him. You know, I told you about the guy who told me he didn't believe in God anymore, and then he went blasting him for what God had done. And I was like, dude, if you don't believe him, don't blame him. You know, that's like a whipping post or something, right? But here's the thing. There is a promised land, and like I shared Sunday about Caleb, these are things that I'm having to walk through. And Caleb said to Joshua, listen, I think we're Caleb's and Joshua's in this room. And I think we've been walking with the whiners and the complainers and the mad at gods long enough, right? But we had to do it. Why? Because God still wants a people who will speak up for him and who will still believe him while they're in the middle of adversity, because our day's coming. And when the end came, God had to keep saying to Joshua, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. He didn't have to say that to Caleb. And when it came time for them to take what God had promised, see, some of us feel like we have to pay a price. Are you with me? We feel like we have to pay the price for what God is wanting to give us. I want it to soak in. We feel like we have to pay the price for what God wants to give us. And Jesus has already paid that price. But I'm going to have to put my armor on, stay in tune with him. Yes, take the light that is the Word. We'll get to this in a minute. But the Word has to have the illumination of the Spirit of God, or you'll take the wrong path. Because my flesh will take a shortcut every time. But he wants us to have what he's promised. So Caleb's like, look, Caleb wasn't griping. He didn't get in with it. He wasn't happy. Now after 40 years, he's 85. And he says to Joshua, I want that mountain. That's the exact place where they saw the king and the giants. That's the exact place where they had to start wandering because everybody else said, ooh, giants, ooh, big things. And I love that little symbol. Have you ever seen, you can look it up, but the tourism of Israel, their little symbol are two people standing, you know, it's like stick figures, but between them is a cluster of grapes that goes from the ground. They're like bowling balls. And I thought, that's the promise God gave them for their land. And that's what Caleb said. I don't care about a giant. Either God will ambush him or give me the strength. I'm going to kill me some. I'm giving me some big old grapes. I'm going to have me some major honey. I'm going to be having me some flowing milk. Our cows are going to prosper. That's where I want to go. I want to go back to where they said God couldn't do it and watch God do it. And that's what I think he wants for you and me. But we're so bound up in why we can't have what he said, because here I am, just a mess, that we won't let go of us long enough to move forward. He knows I'm a mess. He wants me to take my messy self into victory, right? And then when I see myself like that and I recognize who I am compared to him, he's going to get all the glory because I'm not taking the credit. It's a beautiful thing. So we need the light of Jesus. On page 800 in your pew Bible, I'll give you just a minute to turn there. Page 800 in your pew Bible. Or if you have a regular Bible, that's a good one to read from. Different view. I'm going to read from a different version. And I want to read to you Romans 8. I'm going to read 26 through 28 first. And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. See, this is important because if I'm going to pray what I see, we're all in trouble. Because I can be hurt one day and start praying mean prayers. Listen, I don't know about anybody else. And I've told you, Steve and I hear the Lord differently, but we're different people. He knows how we need to hear it. So that's not a bad thing. So when I tell you how I hear the Lord, if that's not how you hear him, don't worry about it. We're not all the same. But I'm like, yeah, that is not fair. And God, I want you to get him. And he's like, okay, well, remember when you did this? Yeah. Do you want me to get you to? No. Pray for, because the way you pray it out, I'm going to give it back. Don't do it to him. Don't do it. Can I just be honest? Sometimes we have to be selfish, what I don't want, to forgive someone else. Oops. Ouch. But if I want what God has promised me, I'm going to have to start forgiving some people. Okay? So he says here, you're reading it with me, for from the, and in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. I love when I'm at that place with God. There's just something, I don't even have a word for this. And I get frustrated. I'm like, God, like, what's another word for thankful? You know, like I'm looking, you know, for a thesaurus or something. What's another word, God, for thankful? I'm tired of saying that one. And it's like they just roll because he's like, Gay, that's not where the power is. It's what's in your heart behind that word. And the Father who knows all hearts, he knows what we know, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. See, when people say called according to his purpose, well, what's the will of God? And then you put up the target and you're like playing darts at a bar and you're just wanting to hit right in the center. I want to tell you something. Wherever you are is the will of God for your life. And even if you missed it, this says he will work all things for good. And I love how this one says it, though. If we love God and are fitting into his plans, that's why I need prayer, because I'm where I am, because I'm going to come out and I'm going to bring somebody with me. He's going to get the glory. So I think it's important now that we read that, that we back up, and I'm going to read to you verses 24 and 25. We are saved by trusting, and trusting means looking forward to getting something we don't have yet. I think the King James says, "For if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." He says, "For a man who already has something doesn't need to hope and trust that he's going to get it." But if we trust, if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. See, here's the problem. If I don't go through anything, my confidence is not in God. My confidence is in me. Oh, man, I was so good. I didn't have to go through that. The rest of y'all are going to have to go through. I've been so good. Anybody in here ever be so good and just have something hit you right in the face that you had nothing to do with? That's because he wants you to have confidence in him. You know, my nose should be flat. I mean, like, I feel like I keep banging into walls. And you know why? It's because I don't turn on the light. Well, the Bible says, do this. The Bible says, and hey, the Bible's great. But if I don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit, my mind will convince me what he's saying, and I'll do what I see instead of what he says. He wants us to have that confidence. Now I'm going to go on down and move to the third part I want you to see, and that is this, 29. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew you would, should become like his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. And having chosen us, he called us to come to him. And when we came, he declared us not guilty. He filled us with Christ's goodness. There was like a blood transfusion. He took away these desires and put in us this love. He declared us not guilty. He filled us with God's goodness. He gave us right standing with himself, and he promised us his glory. When can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? I'll tell you, if God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare his own son for us, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also surely give up us everything else? And who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He's the one who's forgiven us and given us right standing with himself. So I want to look at real quickly what prayer is. Prayer to me is like aiming the light, okay? If I'm supposed to be fighting a battle and I want to aim the light at the people in the troop behind me and see what they're doing, I'm going to be in trouble. If I'm aiming the light ahead and looking around, I'm going to be able to see where danger is. But most importantly, I'm going to be able to walk in the path that has already been cleared for me, or the path that I hear, like any good soldier, hey, this is the way you're going to go. Dude, do you know that in the Army, they don't plan out the easiest path? Here's a hill. Go take it. Okay. You know, here's where the battle's going to be. Dig a hole and get down in it, because it's going to be rough. Do you know, if you don't know, you should read history, because there are places when they tell, and some of you who've been in the military, maybe you've been in these battle situations, they will tell them, you need to dig a hole and put your head in it, because you don't want to see what's coming. I've heard those stories from my uncles. I want you to know this. The purpose of prayer is to give us, number one, free will access to the heart of God. But he wants it to be free will access. He wants to open my heart and my life to give access to him, because I trust him that everything he's doing is for my good. Well, I don't like this. That ain't for my good. Oh, you know better than God. Because that's what he says to me when I say, now, God. And he's like, was that a question? I'm like, no, sir. I think you need to know what's in your heart, Gay. First words out of your mouth were doubt. And I'm like, God, I don't see how this is going to work. Well, it's a good thing I'm asking you to walk by faith, isn't it? Because it's not based on what you see, little girl. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm like 4 years old today. Help me to grow up tomorrow. That's me and God. See, it's the same thing with the enemy. He needs your agreement. He needs you to get in agreement with how bad he's telling you things are going to get. That's his power, your agreement and mine. We need some things God allows them so that we'll align with him, so that it'll be bigger than us, so we recognize I'm not going to have all the answers. And anybody who tells you you can have all the answers is selling you something. He will not compel us beyond the will that he's given us, but he will make sure you're willing to go. God is not going to violate your free will. God is not going to make you do. Don't pray the prayer, God, make me. Just go ahead and make me do it. He's not. That's not going to happen. Because here's the thing. If he comes in and makes you do something, that takes away your free will. And to take away your free will is to violate, and that would be to invalidate the whole purpose of free will. It's a choice. So free will, whatever I give agreement to, that's a form of worship. And praise is a weapon. And so that's what the enemy wanted. That's why he had to leave heaven. He had pride. He thought, hey, look at all I'm doing. Ding, ding, ding. I'm as good. Let them start worshiping me. I deserve a little something. Guys, I want to tell you, pride is a root. I believe Steve says this. He says, pride is the handle to all sin. It's the handle. Because at one point or another, we believe we can or we should or we deserve. So here's like this little prayer circle thing. It's like I love God, and then I move around, and then I start agreeing with God. God loves me. He's made a way for me. I see that. I love him. I begin to give my trust to him. And then when I have this trust, I begin to start communicating with him, praying with him. And when I pray with him, I am aligning myself to what he wants, not what I want. Arguing is not praying. With me? Then when I pray because I trust him, I've gone back to realizing it's because he loves me. The enemy wants to come in there and convince you that it's not love, it's meanness. So that's the first thing I see. The second thing that I see is that the purpose for prayer is that an authority is established that aligns my soul and my spirit. My soul is so in the flesh. My mind, my will, my emotions, all these things. But the spirit hears and intercedes. I'm not going to read all of them. I had them out. But 2 Corinthians 16:9 talks about how our hearts need to be perfect towards him. And you know, I've learned that he's going to love me enough to let me get a big dose of what I think I want until I'll give it to him. Now, we all love Charity, and she knows this story, but I'm going to tell on her. She was in love. She was going to get married. She loved this boy, okay? I'm saying it sarcastic because now it's funny. Then I was like, please, Annette, don't tell on me. I'm like, oh, my God, Annette, agree with me in prayer. But I had, you know, she was in love. And so, you know, the Lord told me, do not tell her this is wrong. Do not come against him and do not talk about him. I was like, dear God, what am I going to do? And he said, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to give her a big dose of what she thinks she wants. And so you invite that boy over to everything you do. You put him in the middle of everything you do. You just open your arms and welcome him because I'm going to do a work and I'm going to show who he is. But if you don't like him and you keep him at a distance, her feet are going to dig in the ground and she's going to take his side, because that's what flesh love does. And then you're going to be bad, and then he'll be all the protector because you so mean. Don't do it. Embrace him, welcome him, every event. And so I'd be like, we're going to do this. Okay, well, you need to invite blah, blah. And she'd be like, Mom, you know, blah, blah. Isn't that, no, we want him to come. Bring him on, girl. And she got tired of him, okay, because she began to see some things that she didn't enjoy. So all of a sudden, it wasn't just like love. It's like, oh, he's so annoying. And I'd go in my mirror, praise you, Jesus. Glory, thank you, God. I know this is terrible. Help me, Jesus. But you know what? I love that girl, but I had to do it God's way. And he just said, give her a big dose of what she thinks she wants. Well, I did it. It was hard. I'm telling y'all, when you love your kid and you see some about man like touching on her, it's hard. But I was like, oh, Jesus, help me not to make a face right now, Lord. You know, really. And sometimes I just wanted to literally just gag and that is so gross, you know. But hey, I listened to the general. I was at war for her future because the enemy had convinced her this is the best thing that's happened to you. And so the Lord took care of all that. And then she began to see some character flaws, not just preference, but character flaws, because he's there all the time. And then she got embarrassed about some stuff. And then it was like her choice. Are you with me on what sometimes God will do? You know, you really want this? Here's the third thing. The purpose of prayer is to give us confidence in God so that I am engaged with him at all times. God, I want that. I really want that, God. Now, Lord, your word says that you'll give us the desires of our hearts. But he also said that he wants our hearts to be his. And so he wants to keep my heart away from the things that will hurt me, and I don't even know what's going to hurt me. Other day, I had to make a choice to go to Jim's birthday party or another thing, and I chose the other thing. And I said, you know, I'll bring you to the house. You'll spend the night. We'll have something special. But, Gemma, you'll have other birthdays. This event won't happen again for this person. I'm going to go. So we're driving, you know. I'm driving her back to Weatherford. She goes, honey, are you going to go to Eli's birthday party? That's her brother. I said, I don't know. Well, if you do, that's not fair because you didn't go to mine. When I hear somebody say, that's not fair, that enrages me because that is the spirit of the world. Jim is not a sinner. She's a child. You with me? Just hadn't even turned 5 at that point. So I have a 4-year-old telling me that I'm unfair. And I said, Gemma, was it unfair that Eli didn't get to spend the night? Crickets. I said, Gemma, should I have Eli over next week and not invite you to make that fair? Crickets. I said, Gemma, crickets means no sound. So I said, Gemma, yeah, I didn't get a laugh, so I thought I'd explain it. I said, Gemma, is it fair that honey treated you special even if I get to go to Eli's birthday party? And she said, yes, it is. And I said, you know what, Gemma, things in the world are not fair. But honey's always going to try to do it best for you because of how much I love you. And I heard the Lord just go, hello, are you better than me? And I was like, got it. I won't be 4 today. Please just let me move into the teens. I want to believe you and trust you. But he wants that confidence. So unanswered prayer, guys, I'm jumping ahead because, you know, but unanswered prayer is a trap from the enemy. And here's what he wants to do. Satan's trap of unanswered prayer is to steal your confidence in who God is and the fact that he loves you. That's the enemy's trap. He uses unanswered prayer. How many people have I heard say, well, God didn't. I prayed and that didn't happen. I'm done with him. I've heard it. I've probably thought it. Check. Well, you know, that didn't work out right. And look, well, look what they got. And you just left me over here. You went to the sucker bucket for me because, you know, I said this to God before, because, you know, I'm going to do what you want. I'm just in your sucker bucket. God, you want me to do it? Yes, I do. I love you. What is that? And yet we accuse even one another, looking for somebody to make me happy. You didn't do that for me. I don't like you. Well, you're supposed to be on my side. Hello, I thought I was on God's side. I think he's just working toxicity out of us so that we learn that guys, love is not going to make you happy. But trusting in God and having his peace will give you happiness. So the purpose of prayer is not so that I can go in and change God's mind. Now, God, I've surveyed the land. Listen, more people, and I know it makes some people mad, okay? My husband is black and white, okay? So, you know, he's just going to call it out. I'm going to do a dance with you till, because I want you to get it. Steve's like, look, here's the problem. And I'm like, let's see this, see that. You know, we're just different. But, yeah, so we had this couple come in one time, and they told us that they'd missed it. They, you know, when we got married, we married the wrong person. And, you know, the Bible says he won't give you more than you can bear. Well, right when you start hearing the scripture come out, Steve, he done. Because you're fixing to tell him what the Lord has said. And Steve just stopped and he goes, look, are you in here to get approval for a divorce or do you want God to work through this? And I was like, you know, fingernails on the chalkboard. And they said, well, how rude. You're the pastor. And, you know, just got. He goes, no, really, I want to know. Because if you're telling me God's told you, let's just save the next hour and y'all go ahead and do what you're going to do. But you didn't come in here and get a blessing from me. I was like, so I'm looking over there. And, oh, you know, like, he's mad. This man, he mad. Well, I know that blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I can't have peace. And the Bible says he'll bring you peace. And all of a sudden, she starts crying. And she said, turned and looked at him. She said, I hate you. I don't want to forgive you. And she just started doing it. And then before you knew it, she was just crying and asking. She said, and I know this is not God's will. And he's like, now we were in agreement. It was hilarious. Well, the Lord did a real work in their lives. So about 6 months later, she comes into Steve's office because they've gotten rid of all the hatred. Their heart's pure. They're in love again. She comes into Steve's office and she goes, I'm so mad at you. Steve said, what did I do? She said, you made me love my husband again. And now that I love him, I'm getting hurt by him all over again. And God said, that's because your heart is right with God. Steve said, God said. And she's like, what? And he said, you had built a wall around your heart of unforgiveness. And no matter what he did, it wasn't going to be good enough because both of you wanted out and you wanted to sanction it with the word. But guys, there's a Holy Spirit that shows you, hey, that's the dark way. That's the world's way. Well, God, I need you to, here, I'm going to reason this out with you. Another not purpose of prayer is so God's going to see my point of view. I got the scripture. I didn't read it all to you, but hey, he's saying in Colossians that we can't even understand what he wants. We can't even understand his ways. His strength is so much greater than ours, and even his weakness is stronger than our greatest strength. And yet we think, well, I can handle that. I'm going to work this out till the bitter end. I'm going to... You don't have your armor on. You don't have shoes with peace. You dug in all right, but you didn't dig in peace. You dug in with self-righteousness. And then the purpose of prayer is not approval of my flesh desires. So Steve said to her, he said, listen, I'm sorry, but I want you to know the fact that your husband can hurt you again is proof that you love him, that God's done a work in your heart. And she went, that's right. And he's like, that's right. So instead of being mad at me and your husband, go lay down before God and cry it out And he's going to show you his goodness, because your husband is never going to be the one to make you happy, but God will be. And I've said this so many times, ladies. I know you've heard me say it before at retreat. I probably said it on Wednesday night. Girls, please let your husbands off the emotional hook. They cannot be your joy. The joy of the Lord. Well, you need a sticker. That was good. Is my strength. And the same way, a man can expect a woman to get everything right and be his happiness. Because if that was true, when you got married, you don't need Jesus anymore. Lord, that's the reason you need him, saints. I'm just kidding. Okay. So here's the thing the Spirit kept saying to me. Here's where it is on this with prayer. Here's where we don't turn the light on the Word. We want to turn the Word to work and tell us, we tell him where we need to go according to the Word. But the Holy Spirit will say, no, no, no. And you know what that phrase is? Self-reliance. Self-reliance. I feel like this has stopped us from going to where God wants us to go. Self-reliance works contrary to the Holy Spirit, and it is an enemy tactic. And the little picture I have there is somebody with bare feet. Because when I'm going, the Lord has put shoes on my feet. He said, you will keep your feet, right? With the preparation of the gospel, you're going to walk in peace. I've told you, James 3, 16, 17, 18. These are my banner scriptures for me. It's like a way for me to measure up. Stay with me on this part. The Word of God is like a way for me to measure up where my spirit is and not measure up where somebody else isn't. I am going to say that again. Because I watch people use the Word of God to measure other people up all the time. That's not the point. I got the scriptures in John 5 where he says Jesus only can judge a man. God has given that authority to him. And you know how Jesus judges? Dude, I took that on. They get in. But your heart's got to be aligned. But that scripture that says, you know, the things of God are first pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and unwavering. When somebody comes against me with the Word of God, I say, was that peaceable? Was that gentle? Was that full of mercy? And I've had people be firm with me and felt peace. But it's because the Holy Spirit is measuring me up to his standard so that I can overcome by his power my desire to do bad. To say, well, I got the Word with me. Here's my flashlight. Okay, let's see what I can do. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know what? I think I'll just go over there and start. I'm going to spend $100 a week on lottery tickets. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can be stupid with the Word of God unless I have the Holy Spirit. And it's like, no, you're not doing that. You want to throw away $100? Go invest it in somebody and I'll return to you what you need and not your lust list. Okay. If I do not align, if I do not agree with God, self-reliance is going to come. And self-reliance is deceitful. The scripture without the Spirit can be deceived because he's the light. The Word was not meant for human understanding to interpret. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator for the plans of heaven because he knows what my future holds and I don't. All I see is what's in front of me in the shortcut. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator of the plans of heaven. Jesus said, let's pray. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. It's not here. It's here. I don't need to be going outward the horizontal way. I need to be going the vertical way, like, hey, you got the overview. You know why a general knows where to tell the troops to go? Because he's got somebody above it looking down at it, telling him what's happening further ahead. And I need to rely on the report from above to know where the traps are. you know, is he the commander in chief, or do you just want an advisor? That's kind of where sometimes like, oh, you just want me to advise you, and then you can make the choice. I'm like, well, yeah, because you gave me wisdom. It's like, no, I know what's best. And this, you guys, is my favorite little picture. I'm so loving this. I've sent this to so many of you, but I love this. You see, this is a roller coaster ride, and God says, I have plans for your life, but here's what it feels like. The Holy Spirit is having a ball. The Holy Spirit has your hand, and that's me on the right. That's me. I don't care if that's you or not. That's me. Dear God in heaven, I'm hanging on for all I'm worth. And the Holy Spirit's like, this is great. Here comes another, woo, right? And I'm like, locked all up. Guys, I really think that's how I look to God most of the time. Like, I don't want to go through this. You know what the solution is? Faith. Close your eyes and walk. Just close your eyes and enjoy it. Quit trying to avert what you see about to happen and trust him that if he's bringing you to it, he'll bring you through it. And he's going to bring you through it with a testimony to him and showing you where your faith is and what a liar the devil is. Human condition can't know the will of God. My flesh is going to rebel against trust without proof. I want trust, but I want proof. Now, you know, I trusted you and you didn't do that. So here's what I'm going to do. If you don't give me this, I'm going to quit trusting you. Now, immediately you're all thinking about yourself or somebody else you've heard this from. But just recognize when that happens, it's because it's the enemy and we're all tempted the same. You know, oh, I love God. Why don't y'all come to church with one time I trusted God and he didn't, you know, I was believing for somebody to be healed and they died. Okay. One time I prayed and I wanted God to do this and he didn't do it. I'll never trust God. Okay, how are you doing? And to me, you know, I'm not a doomsday person. I'm not depressed. But I feel like every person who dies, praise God, this torment is over. I get to go to heaven. Like, can you even imagine what it would be like not to have any pain at all? You don't even know where your pain is some days. You wake up with pain. You wake up with muscle cramps. You wake up with headache. You got allergies. We don't even know what it's like to have a day without pain. I mean, that's going to be phenomenal. Anything that you had in your heart that was dark or hate-filled or worry or regret, when you get there, it's just going to be gone because it can't even enter there. But it's going to come back to free will. Where will I align myself? That is the purpose of prayer. That is why I'm giving him free access. Do I enjoy it always? No. Do I always think it's fun? No. Has my ticket been paid? Yes. But, you know, really, why do I need God? This is what we're going to have to ask ourselves. Why do you want God? Do you have a checkoff list of what you want to see happen in the world, and you're going to be mad when it doesn't? Are you going to blame somebody else for why you can't have it? Or are we going to start being grateful and say, God, I want to thank you that you didn't give me what I thought I wanted? I mean, really, y'all need to turn around and look at some of the stuff that's happened in your life so you can see the faithfulness of God. Because I'm telling you, if I had gotten what I wanted, I wouldn't be serving God. I'd be up in the mountains in a cabin somewhere working to pay the price on that cabin, living in the mountains. Glory to God. Ooh, give me some 60-degree weather year-round. Jesus. Thank you. I'm just like, why would I do it here, right? Yeah. And gratefulness is an access. It is like the automatic door opener to the gates of heaven. We will enter his gates with what? Yes. Enter it. Boom. Lord, I just want to thank you. You know, I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I really don't, because I got nothing to prove. It's all glory to God, however this works out. I got nothing to prove. Everything is about His glory in my life. And I'm sorry for the times that I don't represent you well, but even that I trust you with. Here's the thing. Gratefulness is going to open and give you access to the provision of heaven. But I'm telling you, it would do us good to go back and say, God, I want to thank you that that happened to me. I want to thank you, Lord, that that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to do. Yeah. Some of y'all who aren't old enough to know any better now, you ought to be seeing who you think is so hot now about 40 years later. Oh, Jesus, it is not pretty. Just saying. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You know, this guy one time, you know, I was, you know, at college, and, you know, Steve and I had just been dating for a little while, and this guy kept, you know, he was just always so sweet to me and everything, and, oh, you're so sweet, blah, 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 oh, okay, whatever. You know, well, sis, let me walk you across campus or whatever. Okay, you know, I'm just so gullible. Well, I got back and had this huge, you know, bouquet of roses, and I'm like, Steve ain't got no money. Where did he steal something? Is he, you know? Seriously. So I told him, this is a true story. So I'm like, Steve, I got these flowers. He goes, it wasn't me. I was like, kind of knew it. But I was like, okay. And he goes, well, who sent those flowers? I was like, I don't know. The card just says an admirer, secret admirer. So Steve is not to be done. So he goes to the flower shop. He's like, I want to know who sent these flowers. And they're like, well, we can't tell you. Well, in the back was a girl who worked there that would come to praise and worship nights on campus. Her name, I shouldn't tell that. So anyway, he went to her, he said, hey, you look it up and tell me who sent her those flowers. So she did, and she told him. Guys, this is no joke. 2 weeks later, that guy was arrested for rape. Okay? And Steve went to him, he's like, hey, dude, I know you sent my woman some flowers. You know, I like 110 pounds of him. You know? And y'all know Steve had this big old fro. He looked like a dandelion, like it moved in the wind. He's so handsome. He was so handsome. But anyway, so yeah, so he goes up to this big guy and goes, look, I don't want you, don't you go around her, don't you, whatever. All I'm telling you is this. I didn't have any alarm. That was so sweet that he did that. But God sees something you and I don't see. Because the enemy can give us some nice things and lure us and lull us into sleep. But we are in a dark time right now. We're in a dark time. And I want you and I to start possessing the land. Get rid of the whiners, get rid of the complainers, and say, now, God, whatever was wrong, I don't care. Jesus has made my way. Gay, you don't know, 5 minutes before I came in here. I don't care what you did 5 minutes before you came in here. What are you going to do 5 minutes after you leave here? There's your future. I want you to quit giving things to God and then bringing your trash back in the house and going, well, was there anything valuable in that? Let's look. Do we need any of that? No, you don't need it. That's why you give it to Him. Sever old relationships that are toxic. Don't remember when they sent you flowers. Remember when they called you bad names. I'm just saying. Y'all need to be grateful for where you are and quit looking backwards, because you're missing the promised land because we just want to be happy. Let me just dwell right here. No, no. I'm telling you, God is wanting us to take back and shine light back into the darkness over our nation. And I don't know what's ahead. I never would have thought I'd be here. Steve and I keep saying to each other, can you believe we're doing this? He's like, no, and especially you. And I'm like, I know. God, it has to be God. When He puts you in that position, you don't take credit because you know who it is. So tonight I want you to stand with me. God, if you can't answer, I'm not going to trust you. God, if you allow this, you're so mean, I'm just going to walk away. I'm not going to believe in you, but I'll blame you. That's spiritual blackmail. That's what it is. And what it is it's not love, it's manipulation. And I don't want any part of it with my spouse, with you, with him. I don't want it. Do I do it sometimes? Yep, sure do. But I need to ask for forgiveness from him, because unless I get forgiveness, I don't know how to give it. Okay, Gay, you really want me to give it to him the way you're praying? I sure do. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. Okay, is that how you want it? Well, no. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to have spiritual blackmail, and I don't want to have love that uses manipulation to trap you. It has to be free will. That is the access. And I will choose him tonight regardless of what I see. Anybody in here, can you witness to me that you've seen some really hard things? Every hand should be up. Yeah, some of you, both hands. Yes, Jesus. Right? But here's the thing. The world cannot give you anything to satisfy that hurt. They only give you numbing lotion that lasts for so long, and then you got to go deeper and deeper until you're so dark the enemy's convinced you God can't get you out, or you don't deserve out. And he's a liar, and he's the father of it, and the only power he has is my agreement and yours. And I'm not going to agree with him tonight. There is hope for this nation. Well, you know, the Bible says in the last days it's going to grow worse and worse. In the last days, people, I see all that right now. He still hadn't come. Should I be believing or should I be fearing? I should be believing. There's hope. There's hope because you and I are here. You and I are still able to speak life and bring him glory, because we're going through it, and not because he's given us the shortcut to avert it. That's the glory of God. If I could do it without him and be self-reliant, he doesn't get any glory out of that. But you know who does? Me and my buddy, the devil. I'm just saying, he's not going to be my buddy. Amazing things take your land. Go back to the place where he said, that's too big for you, Andrew. And you say to him, that is mine. I'm going to have it. Whatever he told you couldn't have, you're going to have, because God says it. And I don't care if there's a scoreboard up there and the enemy's showing you 15,172 things God didn't do for you. If there's one thing on this side that says God is going to see me through and I'm not going to hell, then you better look at the one thing you got. I'm serious about it. But the Holy Spirit illuminates the good, because the enemy's showing you the bad. Y'all with me tonight? Yeah. I know the children, I know everybody's like, is she shut up tonight? But you know what? We had a good worship time. We need to have it. But tonight, we're just going to give it to him. You ready to do it? Lord, I just thank you right now. Forever I am yours, O Lord, and I will not turn back. I long to learn of all your ways. I want to dwell in your presence all my days. Lord, my love, my life are yours always, and I won't turn back. Oh God, illuminate to me tonight, Holy Spirit, the importance of forgiveness. Illuminate for me tonight the importance, Holy Spirit, of just letting you have it, of letting you win the argument, of not trying to change your mind, but just saying, I'm going to go to sleep and you just handle it. God, that I could have that confidence. I receive it right now through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want it to be a joy ride and not torture to trust you. God, I trust you right now. I don't know what I'm going to do an hour from now. I don't know what's waiting for me. But I know that all heaven has already won the battle over hell. And I just want to listen to you to tell me where the trap is, where to go take a mountain, where to rest, and wind arise. Sharpen my hearing to you, Holy Spirit, tonight. I give this to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' powerful name, by the work of the cross and the empty tomb, I give it to you tonight, Lord. And they all said, and whew, amen. Good things, you ready for them? Yes, please pray. It's hot and humid. Kids are coming for lunches. We're really excited about what's happening here, but just continue to pray for safety because it's hot out there and yucky weather, and so just pray. Amen. Y'all need to tell at least 3 people you love them tonight. Some of y'all need love practice. Let's have a little, thank you, Bay Girl.